BeastNet is brought to you by James Safety Services and in partnership with Beast OCR. Here we discuss all things OCR and fitness related, running, endurance, conditioning, rucking, and more. Welcome to BeastNet.
Hey everybody, it's Mike with BeastNet here, and on this episode I've got with me Miles Keller. Miles, kind of let everyone know who you are.
Well, I'm an OCR fanatic of all kinds. Let's say it's my white whale. I went deep down the OCR rabbit hole, and I'm kind of all over it. I compete in all the races, co-host the Link Endurance podcast about it. I coach solely obstacle course racing athletes. Just kind of all over OCR. I mean, next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, I'm an SGX coach, so I'll be doing the SGX guided run. I'll run Elite on Sunday and then do the SGX guided run at 11 a.m. On Saturday, I'll be working the Ultra tent. I'm a red team ambassador for Ultra. Also be rooting on my beautiful OCR girlfriend, Marjorie Gonzalez Tumana. So I'm excited about that, man. I'm just kind of all over OCR. Love talking about OCR. You know, we live in a world where most of us have our daily professions. You go to work and no one even knows what OCR stands for. And so when you get around other OCR athletes, you get excited and you want to talk about it. You always have tons to talk about. So I can go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree. I'm the same way at work. I'll mention, you know, Spartan or Rugged Maniac, or I just did the Tough Mudder not too long ago. And everyone looks at me like I'm insane. They're like, you did what and why? So it's awesome doing the podcast because I get to talk to people like you.
Exactly. People say, why would you do something like you paid money to do something like that? But you know what the fact of the matter is about that, man, is that everyone wants to be unique in life. Think how much people, especially younger people, fight to be. They want to be unique. No, I'm just saying, you want to be really unique? Do something hard. Work harder. Be not scared to take on challenges, to not do something as crazy as we do. That's what, in a world where most people are lazy and have a lazy work ethic, you want to be unique? Work hard. Don't be afraid to challenge yourself. See what you're made of. That's what makes someone really unique, man. And it's being surrounded with people like that that get me pumped. They get me psyched. That's why I only train OCR athletes and only program through it. It's me and Victor Quesada. We're coaches, and we coach athletes in a program called Victory OCR Fitness. And that's all I really, I'm a certified personal trainer. I could also go in there and personally train people in the gym, but I have no interest in that. I always promote that. I love being around people that are willing to, hey man, not always eat the crap, to that want to work hard. If you surround yourself with people like that, it makes you better. But it's specifically OCR athletes that it gets me so pumped, and that's why I went deep down that rabbit hole. So you guys are based out of the West Coast, right?
Yeah, we're in Seattle. Well, the Seattle area.
But you guys are in Seattle. Okay. Yep. Okay. It's cool. What I've noticed is there's certain groups around the country, and everyone's going to mostly do the races around their hometown. Like, I'm here in Fort Worth, Texas, and, I'll do races that are all over Texas. There's usually Conquer the Gauntlet, say, in Oklahoma or Arkansas, or Savage Race may come. And Savage Race really is just now starting to venture into the West Coast. People have been begging for Savage Race to come to the West Coast, but there's logistics.
We've been begging. We want them up here. But
can you make Arizona next year?
Possibly. I might have to. I'd have to look at when that's going to be, because I usually go to Vegas for the Spartan race every March, but I've been wanting to branch out and do some of those other races. But like you said, there's a few that you guys have, and even the East Coast has that you guys may not, that we don't get over here. We don't get, Savage. We don't get Bone Frog. There's a few of them over there that we've wanted, but it's like you said, logistics. There's nothing between us and Texas.
Exactly. But we're lucky to kind of have Bone Frog, because you're right. They are mostly a northeastern based obstacle course racing venue, but they're coming down twice. They'll be here November 17th. I believe that's the date they'll be here, and then they're also coming back to Austin next year. And of course, look, we always say Dallas or Austin. These are actually outlying cities, right? We just say that because of notoriety of those larger cities. But we've been real lucky in that. And it's super cool. You see people's posts about these really cool obstacles from other brands. And you're like, oh, man, I really want to try that. Like, you know, tons of people come for Conquer the Gauntlet, man. We've got the hardest obstacles in obstacle course racing. And then Savage Race comes to Texas a few times a year, and they have some of the most, you know, these mandatory completion races that have these really fun, challenging obstacles, several rigs or things like Wheel World. It's definitely worth it. And then, you know, I've seen other stuff like on the West Coast, like you guys have Fit Challenge. I know, you know, Victor Quesada is a dear close friend of mine, and he's told me all about that. Man, that sounds like really cool. I really kind of want to go out there and do that. And, I know that's a little further away from Seattle, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll say it is, but, you know, I mean, it's one of those, that's one of the things, like I said, I've been looking at is, I've traveled quite a bit for Spartan, but it's like, okay, not to sound bad, I love Spartan, but I've seen most of those obstacles multiple times. And it's like, I want to see what else is out there, but we don't, you know, we don't get a lot here. We get Spartan, Terrain Race, Tough Mudder, I just finally did for the first time. You know, Rugged Maniac doesn't even come to Seattle anymore. So, I mean, we don't get a lot of some of those like you guys get. So I want to try some of those other obstacles.
You know what's interesting about Spartan Race is that this is Bracken Crocker, when I first got an OCR, was programming for me. And, he's phenomenal. He said something about Spartan Race that is stuck in my mind all these years, and no one has ever looked at Spartan Race from this perspective. But Spartan Race isn't so much obstacles as it is laborious tasks. Things like the bucket carry, Atlas Stone carry, sandbag carry, all of these aren't really obstacles. Those are laborious tasks. And what makes you a great Spartan athlete is, one, grit, and two, you're shunting in between getting in and out of obstacles. Can you run up to the obstacle, get right into it, and then get right back to running after it? That's the hard part. And most people get through these obstacles when you're relaxed and you're cold and you're rested. But it's a whole other thing to be able to do that. So, you know, it's an interesting perspective that stuck with me for a long time. So I love that.
That is
obstacles.
An interesting.
I love. And keep that in mind when you do your training. Next time you guys go out and you go get your run in, you know, be thinking about that. That's why you pick up if you are going to focus on Spartan Race, are you going for your trifecta, or, you know, everyone's motivated a different way. It has a different goal. Yeah. But think about how that should help you. Your training should help you reach that goal. If it is Spartan, then you should have a bucket. You should. Most races have a sandbag. Savage Race has a log. They don't. A lot of the mandatory completion races you're going to find maybe have a sandbag. Or a log. They don't run that big on the laborious tasks. So you change your programming to that.
Which makes sense, because in my yard right now I have Atlas balls, sandbags, buckets, and tires. So I mean, you could tell which race I've done the most of. So
what's your goal for Spartan, man? Do you compete elite age group? He's going for trifecta.
For me,
what's your goal?
For me, it's open heat, really. And I mean, I just go for trifecta. My biggest thing is, anybody who's listening to the podcast knows I had a severe injury to my foot 3 years ago that I've been battling to come back from. So my times aren't great. I'm more one of those. I like, and I think that's why I love Tough Mudder so much when I did it, is I like helping others. So I like going out, doing the races, and feeling like I helped somebody get through it. And for me, it's trifectas. Right now, I'm going to be going down to California in December to finish my third trifecta for the year. So in Spartan. So,
yeah. Wow. For me, it's, you know, Mike, man, that speaks a lot about your character. You don't have to get on the podium, man. You don't have to do anything. You know what speaks large about your character is the fact that, one, you even take on this challenge. the people, there's a lot of people that will do open wave that'll show up, maybe beat themselves up because, oh, they're not as happy with their time or they feel like they can't do age group or elite. Not, but the fact of the matter is, man, we're a very small group of people that look at this and be like, and don't look and be like, that's crazy. Why would I pay that money to go do that? No, they want to see, you know what? I want to see what I'm made of. And then some of the best stories are in the open wave. Those are the people I like to surround myself in. There's a reason why I've always, after I've competed elite, I go back through, because just like you, man, I love helping people. How many, we go through our daily lives where people don't look at each other in the eyes anymore. People, you know, you're in traffic, you're flipping each other off. And then you go to Spartan Race, and what happens? You see complete strangers bending over, helping each other over walls, rooting everyone on. Keep going, man. Keep pushing. You got this. That's the kind of community that makes you want to be around. It makes you a better person. That's what keeps me driving towards it. That's what I love. It completely changed the way I look at the world. And so, fantastic, man. Good for you, dude. And you can only imagine, you don't even realize everyone out there, there's a lot of people you can't even tell that have their own injuries. They're battling all kinds of things, whether it be divorce, depression, death in the family, sickness, you know, stress, anxiety, all these other problems, man. There's a lot, you don't realize a lot of those people are out there overcoming those problems by overcoming these figurative obstacles, by overcoming literal obstacles.
Oh yeah. No, I know a lot of people that I've talked to and that have come over, you know, have cured their demons basically by doing Spartan Races or any OCR, just getting out there and going over the obstacles and, you know, getting rid of the obstacles in their head.
Like what you hear? Make sure and subscribe and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Be sure to find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you're using YouTube, please click the little red subscribe icon, then click the little bell for notifications of future episodes. And if you could, give us a thumbs up.
Have you ever done OCR World Championships?
No, I haven't. I want to get out there someday, but I just have not done that one yet.
So have you heard they're coming back to America next year, Stratton, Vermont?
No, I did not hear that.
Yes, sir. Ooh. They will no longer be in London. They normally do a race in the same place for 2 years in a row and then change the location. But they're coming back to Vermont, man. So, hey, look, if you've never had a chance to experience that, they're an amazing experience. They're a lot of fun. I highly suggest it. If you have to travel for a race the next year, man, travel for OCR World Championships.
I think I might have to. I know normally I travel to Hawaii, but I'm going to have to do that. So normally the last couple of years, actually, amazingly, the last 4 years, I've gone to Hawaii. So, for the Spartan
Race. That's one of the few territories or states that I haven't been to yet. I've been dying to go there. Tickets are so expensive. I pay an astronomical amount in a child support now, so I just simply can't afford it, man. I've got to stick in
that. I know how that goes.
Maybe drive. Yeah, it's a rough.
Mine just turned 19, so that's how I can afford it. So he didn't go on to college, so the child support ended. But no, I've done the Hawaii. My wife is actually really good at like finding the cheap tickets. Like right now, she was trying to figure out today if she was going to buy the tickets for Hawaii next year, because she found them for $188 a person.
Holy crap. No way, man. Where did you find that? You send me that information too. We'll get a B&B. I'll go out there with you, all right?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, we get lucky too because her mom has a timeshare, so we don't end up paying for a place to stay either. We pay like $25. We were there for 10 days this year and paid $25 for our stay.
Oh, my God. I can't even fathom that, man. That's absolutely amazing.
My wife is the queen at finding like cheap airfare, cheap everything when it comes to travel. And like, yeah, she's amazing at that. So that's how we're able to travel as much as we do is because, yeah, she finds. Yeah. But we're planning like 6 months ahead.
Have you tried the Ultra Beast out there?
No, I'm not.
I have not done the Ultra Beast yet. I did do in Hawaii. This year was the first year that I actually finished all three races in a weekend. And it was, it didn't go the way I wanted, but I finished. So
what exactly went right?
My feet. I don't know if it was because I was there.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't just that. I was there for 5 days before we raced. And like from the time I got off the plane, I kicked my shoes off and never put shoes back on until I got to the venue that morning. Well, somewhere along the way, I don't know if it was because I just hadn't worn shoes in a week or whatever, my feet had swollen. So they were like, probably I should have had like shoes that were two sizes bigger than I had because my feet were so swollen and it just, it ruined everything. So once I got out there and started racing, of course. No, I moved. We walked. We did.
Like you said, you didn't put on. Okay. You didn't move. Okay.
Yeah, we were at the beach. We were doing, you know, all sorts of stuff. We went on a catamaran. We did all sorts of stuff. And I mean, and I did not drink alcohol or anything for that whole week. You know, it was all water. I mean, I did everything I was supposed to do, like hydrating, but I don't know what it was, but for some reason my feet just swelled up. And so when I went to put shoes on that first time, it's like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But I raced anyway. And because my feet were so swollen, everything rubbed. And by the time we finished, my feet were blistered and bleeding. So I went back went back to the hotel.
What kind of shoes did you have?
I had Innovates. I usually use Innovates.
Yeah.
Innovate Talons. And usually I don't have a problem. This was the first time I've ever had a problem. But the next day, my wife, you know, the next morning, my wife bandaged up my feet and there was no way I was getting them in because I have four pairs of Innovates, but they're all the same size. So there was no way I was getting my feet into them. So I ended up having to wear, I have a pair of like Skechers that I wear every day for work that are, you know, like relaxed fit. And I those on because they would fit. They would fit, but it was just like my feet were moving in them. They're not made for that. And I did the super and the sprint back to back. And by the time I was done, it was, I couldn't even walk. My feet were so destroyed. But I pushed myself through and I learned something I need to make sure, you know, next year to try and figure out a way to make sure my feet don't do that again and, you know, just move on and learn and keep going.
Well, I don't want to sound like an infomercial here and nothing against Innovates. I like, I think they're great. You really ought to try a look at, I am going to sound like an infomercial. You really ought to try a pair of the Ultras, man, because they have the wide, toe box and the end. And when you run, your fat and your feet lands, it splays out. You'll see some of these other brands, they have more narrow ends to the feet. And so that doesn't have space for your foot to splay out. With the wide shoe box, that's why they're like the favorite for trail runners, is it has that space. I had fractured my left toe and I was horribly pain. I was using the other brands. I don't want to throw no one under the bus. I think they're all great. But when I was introduced to it, Ultra, by an incredibly knowledgeable woman who hates it when I call her out, so I won't say her name. Her name rhymes with Macy. We'll call her Macy. she introduced me to Ultras, and I'd already been preaching about them for a while. And then when I really got to know just how they were made and the proper one for myself, man, it was a game changer. You really ought to give those a shot. The Mountain Kings, 2.0s just came out.
We'll have to look at those.
I took them through Toughest South. And it was fantastic. The blood water great. The traction was great. There's a reason the Ultras are the favorite of the trail running community.
I'll have to check those out. Because what I like about the Innovates is, honestly, it's the traction. The traction on the Innovates is what I've always... Because those talons, they're, you could pretty much walk up the side of a hill, no matter how steep it is. But,
Those 180s is a classic shoe. Especially when OCR first started coming out, that was like kind of the go-to shoe for most people. For that was the 180s.
I'm always looking for good shoes because I know I learned long ago that the right shoes can change everything. So
that's the number one, probably the biggest things you see people that show up for a race for the first time. Which one I love to see. Because you get to see, every once in a while, you get to see the look in their eye when they come across the finish line and they're hooked. and they have this smile from ear to ear. That's yep. incredible. But they'll show up with their regular running shoes or just their regular, like you said, your Skechers. Like show up and think that's okay, yep. and then quickly learn after slipping and slopping around in the mud that, oh man, I really need some traction. You know, they'll see someone go right in front of them that has a pair of trail shoes and they go right up the mud, you know, like no big yep. deal. It's like, oh, okay, I got to invest in one of those. That is a very quick lesson learned. That and not to wear.
Oh yeah. That was my first mistake. Cause when I did my first Spartan race I ever did was the Montana Beast in 15. Because, you know, go big or go home, right?
So, of course.
And I would have wear a pair of Pearl Izumis that, you know, road running Pearl Izumis. So, I mean, they were ones that, you know, I had gotten because I was doing marathons and half marathons, and the Pearl Izumis were great for the road. And then, you know, I just took an old pair because I figured, okay, I just bought a new pair. I don't want to use the brand new ones. I'll use the old pair and go run this, you know. In case they get muddy. Oh yeah. I learned really quick. I'm like, these were not the right choice. No traction, no nothing. Yeah. It's like, nope. All right. And now we're going to take a quick pause so we can hear from our sponsors.
Do you like challenges that are fun, tough, and might use tacos? Head on over to beastchallenge.com and check out our upcoming events, including Beasts 5K Plus, a combination of race and endurance event, and the Bucket Mile. Keep an eye on the Beast OCR Facebook group for event gatherings. For more information, head on over to beastchallenge.com and the Beasts OCR Facebook group. You'll be glad you did.
And we're back.
You know, let me ask you, how is your guys, the seasons from, you know, kind of harking back to when I was talking about these different regions that have all the local races yeah. and everything. Everyone's different seasons end and begin at different times. I think over there on the West Coast, and forgive me if I'm misquoting this, but like Temecula is usually in California, is usually one of the first races of the year. I think it's in late February or something like that. Over here, it's getting to be the same in the South with, let's say, November 17th. Last year, we had a terrain race that was December 1st. And now, with the introduction of the San Antonio Super for Spartan, being in, I think that same range, off the top of my head, I think it's early March, late February. It's the off season is getting smaller and smaller. So when is your guys' season over there on the West Coast kind of starting in?
It really depends. I mean, if you're talking like the whole West Coast, there really isn't. I mean, you've got California has right now. I'm going to go do a beast on December 15th in California.
Wow.
And then I think the first race, I think Temecula is actually in the middle of January. There's really not an off season there. Up here in the Northwest, it's pretty much October to April. That's our off season because it's the weather gets so bad up here in Seattle. Right now, I know a lot of people have issues with the April Spartan. Which I go back and forth. I'm all for it because I think it's just another obstacle and just makes it that much better. Is the April Spartan is usually very cold and very wet. We actually had there's video from like 2 years ago of someone swimming through the barbed wire crawl because it had rained so much that there was 6 inches of water that had formed
The
barbed wire crawl.
So I mean, are you talking about what used to be Washougal?
No, Washougal's still in August, but this is April. This is up in Snohomish. They say Seattle, but it's north of Seattle. It's up in Snohomish, but it's in usually the first or second week in April, and it is very wet, very cold. And then you come back around, and then in September, they do the beast and the sprint in the exact same location as, you know, the one in April. And the difference in races, usually my beast time, is faster than my super time.
Oh,
I can usually do the beast.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Because it's so dry in September, it's dry. It's the same location, the same exact location, but because it's dry, you can just dip right through it. When it's wet in April, you're slipping and sliding on mud the whole time. And I'm pretty sure like last year, there was like 8 different types of mud that you found. So, I mean, it was...
you know, it's a completely different race, even though it's at the same location. But a lot of people this last year, it was so cold still. There was quite a few people that DNF'd because they got hypothermia because it was that cold.
Oh, wow.
They ended up having, they had to, like, there was a river, a part where you had to go inside into the river, and they ended up pulling that off because, you know, cutting that part out because they're like, yeah, too many people are getting, you know, hypothermia from having to go through the river. So it's, you know, and for me, it just, yeah, you know, it's just like, you got to train for that weather. It's like, you know, going to Hawaii, it's hot and humid, and I'm from Seattle, so I'm not used to hot and humid. So it's like, you got to train and try and figure out how to get, that's just a whole nother obstacle to me. It's like, okay, it's hot and humid there. So I have to figure out how to deal with that. Just like here in April, it's cold and wet. I just have to learn how to, you know, to still do it and get past that obstacle. So, but yeah. So yeah, a lot of people have been trying.
Absolutely.
They've been trying to move it later.
I wish they put more stadium series in the horrible parts of the year in winter would be perfect, right? And then they just recently announced the Spartans announced the stadium championship series, so they'll have a stadium championship. You know, it'd be good to have that kind of block and some more of those races in that area where it's much more manageable, where you're not in water in the freezing cold, but it's inside a stadium or even outside the stadium where you go inside here and there. So it's, you know, I also get the you know, the belief that, hey, you're blowing the Spartan the F up, right? Get tough and grit it out and develop that grit. And I get that too. But there's a line to be towed there. And, but isn't that kind of cool that you guys have a longer off season period, because you look like we're talking about in California, where you could technically have like a month. It'd be very easy for people to get caught up in racing. Well, when you don't have an off season like that, one, you can't peak for races. It makes it that much harder to taper for a race, and that leads to injury when you just constantly race over and over like that. You're not, you know, looking at things like mobility and recovery and taking care of these maybe injuries you've accrued over the time. That leads to injuries, and injury prevention should be almost first and foremost.
Well, it should be. I mean, I was just, you know, did another podcast that I was just talking to someone about that and mobility. Doing, you know, having mobility drills, stuff like that, so that you can make sure that your body's moving the right way. I mean, when I started running years ago, yoga was my favorite thing. When I first started running, I kept getting injuries. I kept getting, not injuries, but, you know, that soreness from running too much and everything else and not doing enough stretching. And I started doing yoga, and all of a sudden, most of that went away. And all of a sudden, I could run faster. I was stronger. I felt better. It's like, oh, yeah, you got to work on that. You know, a break and mobility. Yeah.
A lot of people don't pay any attention to that and put any importance on that. Yeah, I know that's pretty cool. And then Tough Mudder, they're bringing Toughest South back to Dallas. It's actually Midlothian, but we'll say Dallas for namesake. And you know, you got those tougher efforts. It's interesting how we'll see how next season shapes up. This weekend is that, have you heard of this new stadium? It's not a stadium event. It's kind of a Spartan stadium-like with functional fitness stations. It'll be Hydroxy World, I believe it's called. And it'll be 1,000 meters and then a fitness station 10 times. So you'll get 8,000 meters and you'll get these other reps. I'm not sure what the exercises exactly are, but you know, you have that. You have Spartan announcing the stadium championship. You have these different race brands now coming in and kind of really doing specialization. Where if you want to compete for those, Spartan is standardizing the super distance, the 6 miles. I thought that's interesting. That's always been kind of Savage Race's distance. That's been their jam. Savage Race will no longer have the Blitz on Sunday. They're going to have the Blitz and the Full on Saturday. So a lot of people are playing around with the time formats. You know what I mean?
Does your business need first aid, AED, OSHA, flagging, or other safety training? James Safety Services is your one-stop shop. Find them on Facebook today at James Safety Services WA and ask for a quote on hosting your training needs.
Well, how do you feel about the Spartan? Because a lot of people have different views on this, on Spartan standardizing the distances.
Oh, I think it's great, man. I think it's great. I imagine all the people around the rest of the world that have, I'm not sure if you ever got a chance to watch, say, the live video feed of the European Championships. They've had different obstacles than us sometimes. And I'm sure they probably look at our videos and they're like, oh, man, I want to do that obstacle. You know, I want to do a twister or something like that they may not have had in Europe. You know, they've had a slack line in Europe for a while, which we just now, I think, starting to get with the balance beam and the stadium series. So I think it's a good thing, man. And then a lot of people say, hey, it's an effort to try and get OCR as an Olympic sport, but really no, in full disclosure, I'm also on the, on one of the panels there for the U.S. OCR champion, for the U.S. U.S. OCR foundation there that is trying to get OCR into the Olympics. However, you can't have a brand representing them. So you couldn't have Spartan come in there and do it. And so it has to be a certain standardization. But I think that's helping lend to that effort in a way of helping legitimize our sport with more standardization. And then again, one of the other things that someone else might look at and say, hey, that's what I love about OCR is that it's kind of like salsa. Is that you can go to different restaurants and have different salsa because they have different ingredients, right? Yep. You're dipping chips in all of it, but you're having different things. And that's what gives it that flavor, is having the difference from race to race. So there's a couple different ways to look at it. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I don't know. I kind of like it. Even though, I mean, for someone who's done Spartan for, 5 years now, sometimes that not knowing how long it was going to be added to it. You know, even though Spartan would tell you, hey, it's going to be 8 miles, you never believed them because they were usually full of it. But, I mean, when I did, like the Founders Beast in 2015 in Montana, I remember seeing mile marker 19.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, it was, and a lot of people said, you know, their GPS and Garmin's were showing 23 or 24 miles. It was brutal.
Yeah, I believe it.
But I mean, it was one of those, you know, and of course I'm doing it going, you know, it was my first part and I'm like, they said 13 miles. Why am I seeing 19? You know? And that was kind of the, you know, the fun
added
of it.
A super onto that. They could have very well added a whole super onto the end of that beast course. That's true. It helps people. I mean, in those longer races, especially if you've done, say, an ultra, when you do eventually, and I'm promising you probably will eventually take on an ultra beast at some point as far as a bucket list.
Oh, I will.
And you'll face your demons, man.
It's on there.
You will face demons.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool. It's not every day you face your demons or you get to take on something you've never done before. Like that. That's going to give you such a sense of fulfillment when you do conquer it, which you will.
Oh, yeah. It's on the bucket list. I've got to get there. So I'm trying to get my speed back after the foot injury and be able to get it to run a little bit better. So, and after the injury, my training wasn't what it should be, and I gained a bunch of weight, and I'm still getting rid of some of that. So that was my other issue was I made the mistake of, oh, my foot's hurt, so I better sit on the couch and eat potato chips. So you know how it is.
Oh, yeah. So, bad choice. The more miles I run, the more I justify having junk food from here or there, having Cheeto Puffs or Smart Food Popcorn.
I made some bad choices and, gained some weight. So I'm working on getting rid of that and the ultra is on my radar and then it's on the bucket list. It's something I'm going to get through. So
do you have any local races over there? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say local races. We have a few, but not too many. I mean, there's a few, on the podcast, we've really tried to push some of the local ones to really give them, try and get a, more going and make sure that they stick around. There's been a bunch that have kind of come up and done like 1 or 2 years and then disappeared. But we've got a few locals. There was one that they just did, you know, called the Run Amok, which was a cool one that was put together as a charity for building tiny houses for veterans out in, you know, one of the small towns around here. And there's a couple other ones that, you know, little ones around here, but not too many. We've been trying to get a few more. So there's a Summit of the Swamp, which actually the race that I, the team that I belong to, the Beast OCR, we're working with the people who run Summit of the Swamp to make their run better and make it, you know, as good as it can be, and trying to make it a lot more, I don't know, try and get more people out to it, plus give them more obstacles and, you know, help them build it and make it better. So, yeah, there's a few out here that we're trying to get going, but, yeah.
Are you saying there's a swamp in Seattle, in Washington State?
Oh, there's a bunch of swamps.
Is there really? Oh, man, I did not know that. I know that makes sense, but when you think swamp, I think of a different scenery. But, yeah, I guess
I mean, it's a swamp, but it's not like there's no alligators in our swamps. So,
right, just horribly poisonous snakes, water moccasins.
No, we don't even have those. We don't even have poisonous snakes. We have rattlesnakes on the other side of the mountain. We have very little. There's not much nature here besides like bears and cougars that'll eat you, or kill you. So, yeah, maybe some of the
there's no coming across the wildlife and getting away with it like over here. You might come across it, but you might also get away. But over there, no, it's probably a bobcat that's hungry and is going to be chasing you, right?
Yeah. Unless you're in Tacoma, then it's a meth addict. But you know that's a whole other story. But
it's a whole other animal.
It's a whole other animal.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty good.
You've done a lot of races, and I've heard you mention it a couple times of the mandatory completion. What is your feelings on that? This is something I've gotten like big arguments with people on, the mandatory completion on some, you know, versus burpees. Or,
well,
not necessarily
penalties,
but,
versus,
you know,
mandatory
that kind
completion.
Of the penalty. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It is an age old argument, but what it does is it lends itself to people with other strengths. Like for me, man, I want to get on the podium. That's my goal. If not for age group, I turned 40 this year. Actually, in a couple of weeks, I'll be 40, so I can compete in the masters division. And I've never been, I don't come from a long running background, so I'm not the fastest, but I hardly ever miss an obstacle. I'm upper body strong, and I'm really proficient and good on obstacles. So it's playing towards my strengths. Not to mention, I got an obstacle course racing is for the obstacles. That was the original reason. There's a longer story that goes behind that. But I love the harder obstacles, like Conquer the Goblin, Savage Race. This plays towards my strengths. I will place and do a lot better in those races because I will catch people that are faster than me at those obstacles. I still run a bunch. I'm still decently fast, but you know, it lends itself to a whole nother strength. So it goes back to how you're incentivized. What are you, you know, what is your intrinsic and extrinsic motivations? Do you just want to get a trifecta? You know, if that's what you're going for, if you just want to see you can finish, boom, then any of those races, you can do any of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're trying to compete to get on the podium and you don't have a long running aerobic base built over a long period of time, like me, well, your better shot is at a mandatory completion race. And then you'll even think the top tier elites in things like Savage Race. You look at Yuri Force, the most winning athlete for Savage Race. He's done a few Spartans here that's been close to him. And he likes it. He likes it just fine, but nothing like Savage Race, because he's like, hey, this is an obstacle course race. You should have to complete the obstacles.
Yeah.
And just like the people that talk about, hey, you know, Spartaning death up, you should be able to, if you can't get through that obstacle, keep working on it till you get through it. Some of the most motivating scenes I've seen people stuck at a rig or an obstacle in mandatory completion races. And I'll forewarn you that Obstacle Course Racing World Championships, OCRC, is a mandatory completion race. And you'll see people stuck there for hours. And And you'll learn something about yourself when you see how other people, they can't get through it. They give up their band. They come back. They come back the next year. They come back for revenge. Or some people walk away and you're like, no, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. I've seen people, man, do those obstacles over and over and over for a couple hours till their hands are bleeding, torn open, shaking, you know, because they refused to mm-hmm. give up. And that is, that says more to me than the guy who got first place on the podium. Here's someone who's just fighting tooth and nail. That says more about their character. You know what I mean?
See, and that's, so that's my, that's you have my the feeling. Same view of it as I do. You kind of have the same view I do. I've seen too many races, and I hate to say this because there's nothing wrong with people who can run fast. But so many times I've watched, like, you know, some of the national champ or national races or whatever, this one Spartans televises, where you'll see runners who get second, third, you know, first, even sometimes run up to an obstacle, like the tire flip, touch it, and then run over and start doing their burpees. Because they know they're like, I can't do this obstacle, so I'm just going to do my burpees. And then somebody else come and do the tire flip, and you're looking at them going, if you just would have attempted this, you know, you have an advantage because you have the speed. At least attempt the obstacle. I mean, like you said, I think it takes a whole different – it changes things because now all of a sudden you have to train. Yeah, and you have to train for everything. Rather than I have seen the ones that train just to be fast, and then they're fast, and then they know they can't do the obstacle, so they're just going to go right past. They're just going to go over, do their burpees, and take off because they know it'll be faster for them to do the burpees than to actually attempt the obstacle. You know,
you'll see, like, people play to their strengths.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think it would force more people to train for everything, to be able to say, okay, I'm going to be fast, but I'm going to be strong enough that I can do these obstacles as well. Well, for me, I'm not that fast, but I can usually do most of the obstacles. Monkey bars, all those, I usually do good. I have issues on the rig but, you know, I attempt every one. Even if I know, if I'm looking at it, like my hands could be bleeding or whatever, I'm going to attempt. You know, the only time I don't attempt is if for some reason, like Montana 2 years ago, I dislocated my shoulder halfway through the race. So.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a reason to walk off.
But it was,
there are reasons.
Yeah.
Oh, you reset it and you kept going?
I reset and kept going. Yeah, I finished the race. But there was a couple obstacles where I'm like, there's a couple obstacles. I'm like, I can't do that. I mean, it's like, you know, I came up to like the rings. I'm like, I can't even attempt this because I can't, you know, I know if I put weight on my arm again, I'm going to dislocate it again. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to go over and do, you know, at that point I was doing either, you know, a couple one arm burpees and then squats because I'm like, I can't put, you know, that shoulder's pretty much toast, but I can do most of the other stuff still. So
Yeah. You did something. You did something.
I did something. And I mean, in the open heat, it's kind of one of those. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Just like you're saying, it's one of those situations where it depends on what you're out there for, man. Like if you want to, you get to the point where you can't fly through those rigs and you can't go, then, you know, keep pushing yourself. Then maybe go for age group. Work your way up to elite.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Go for that stuff. That's fantastic. As long as you keep pushing, as long as you keep trying to push yourself, man, that's what sets us apart from everyone. You know what I mean? You keep
it's all about
pushing
being,
yourself.
Being better than who you were yesterday. I mean, that's the best thing I think I've ever heard is be better than who you were yesterday. And that's my goal. You know,
you and me have kids to set an example for. And you can lead by example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what makes a leader, right? Leading by example. Bosses shout orders from the back. So if you can lead by example, it makes a huge difference. Did your son ever get a Spartan Racer OCR?
Not the older one, but my younger son has. He's 17, and this was the second year in a row that he trifected. So,
that's cool, man. I fantasize about being able to run a race with my kids. I think that's so cool. My daughter, she says she doesn't want to get muddy, but my son, I have a 1.5-year-old baby boy, and he wants to bad. He loves imitating everything I do. When I do a burpee, he does a burpee. He likes to try and do. He points at a pull-up bar, and he wants it, and I'll hold him, and he pretends to do the pull-ups, you know, and it's the coolest thing, man. But you're doing the right thing. You're setting a real good example. When the going gets tough in life, like it inevitably will, they'll harken back to that example you set for them.
Oh yeah, and he does great. He has a blast. Unfortunately, I didn't get a run with him on his very first Spartan. He did the Washougal one and the Portland sprint, and my foot was broke. That was, you know, 3 years ago when I broke my foot. So I was there with him, but I couldn't race because my foot was in a boot. So I was crazy, and I went to Hawaii the next week and ran in the boot. But yeah, I've got pictures of me really? Doing the Hawaii race with those. I attempted. I got through the beast. The beast, I DNF'd. I DNF'd on the beast. Yeah, I couldn't move quick enough. And then the super, I did finish the super the next day. But I couldn't, I just trying to do it in a full boot. But it's one of those things I've told a lot of people. I'm like, I asked my doctor before I left. I'm like, can I do this? And he's like, as long as you don't land on that foot and you leave the boot on the whole time, you'll be fine. I said, okay.
Yeah, he didn't say mud on the boot or anything.
Oh yeah, no, he didn't say anything about that. When I came back though, he had to give me a whole new boot because it was an air cast boot and the air was full of mud. The air pockets are full of mud. There was gouges on the side. He's like, you weren't kidding. I'm like, nope. I destroyed that thing.
Thank God for insurance. But, God knows how much that thing would have cost it out of pocket.
Oh, yeah, I destroyed it. But hey, I did it. You know, it's like I'm doing this. So.
Well, I can't wait to hear how you do it. You know, Sierra World Championships and some of these new races. You have to keep in contact, man. Let me know how you do next year.
I'm really definitely going to. So we are running up on the hour mark. Before we hit that, I did want to go ahead and tell us a little more about your podcast. I know, or is it it's a podcast, correct?
Yeah. So it's an OCR and fitness podcast called Link Endurance, co-hosted there with Morris Brossette. And he actually kind of changing the format to more of a mindset, wellness, and health concentric format, and a little less on OCR. We've always specialized in interviewing people. What I like to do is interview some of the most interesting and top-tier athletes from around the world. And kind of not just, I'm not as interested in, hey, how do you like Twister? How do you like that course? I want to know, what have you sacrificed to get where you have? That's what people don't see. I want to know about people's hearts and minds. And that's what I really try to get into in some of these interviews. We just recently interviewed Robert Killian after coming off the second time winning and the controversy surrounding the burpee penalties, Ape Hanger, Ryan Woods calling him out. There's a bunch of controversy going on surrounding all that. So we delved all into that. So we got that podcast going on. And once again, hey, if anyone needs personalized programming, you can hit me up, send myself or Victor Quezada a DM on Facebook or Instagram, wherever you want to get a hold of us, and we can talk to you about that.
And we'll make sure to post all those with the on that.
Yeah, okay.
We'll post all your social media stuff so people can find you.
And people see me at races, or you just have random questions and you guys want to hit me up, and don't be afraid. I'm a chatty Kathy. I love this community. I love everything about it. If you want to chat, hit me up. And you see me at races, don't be afraid. Come up to talk to me, and can't wait to hear about your race. And you need any advice, come talk to me.
Right on.
I appreciate you taking the chance to have me on the podcast.
Oh, anytime. And I mean, it's, you know, the way you described your, you know, the podcast that you're working on, the Link Endurance, is that what you said it was?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So it's kind of the same way we are. I like the stories. I like, you know, I mean, Killian's great. I really want to get him one day. Someday I'll get him to talk to me. But but some of the other ones, I like talking to people, you know, the people that have put their heart. What did you give up for this? What drove you to this? I talked to, you know, a couple people, you know, a little while back, a young lady who had, you know, was paraplegic, and she was doing Spartan races, and just what she gave up to do it and how she did this. And, you know, I love those kind of stories. Or, you know, a recovering drug addict, you know, I've talked to a couple times that, you know, what she gave up and how it changed her life. And I love the heart stories, you know. Yeah, those are great.
I love because there's tons of people overcoming all kinds of struggles.
Yeah.
And that keep motivating you. When you sit there, well, just like those stories you just mentioned, next time, you know, you want to go out, you need to go do your run. You need to go work out. Man, maybe it's kind of uncomfortable outside. Maybe there's some other chores you need to do around the house. Maybe there's some other ancillary things you need to do. Those stories remind you, man, those people don't have excuses. What excuse do I have? I don't have an excuse. It'll help push you. It will change you. It'll make you realize, you know, when everyone's coming, it'll make you want to push. Oh, maybe I can't push a little further. Maybe I can't push a little harder, and you'll grow from that. I mean, it sounds kind of cheesy, but it's true. No one grows in their comfort zone.
No, they don't. You got to get out of your comfort zone, and that's what's awesome to hear people being able to do that and pushing themselves beyond the limits, you know, doing things that people said they'd never be able to do. So, you know, I mean, that's amazing. So, right on. Well, it's been great talking to you. I will definitely, like I said, when the podcast airs, I will make sure all of your information is out there. So people can find you on social media and all that stuff and listen to your podcast. Is there anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
I don't wish it was easier. Wish you were stronger. Keep pushing. You guys got this.
Thanks for listening to the BeastNet podcast. If you haven't done it yet, find us on Facebook. Like and share the podcast. Give us a review on iTunes or Spotify. All these things will help to expand the show in the future. This show is brought to you by James Safety Services in partnership with Beast OCR. Don't forget to subscribe and let us know what you think and what you like to hear. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or at beastocr.com.